This episode is powered by denmeditation.com. Though meditation is the primary focus, the bigger goal is for people to understand and love themselves, thus creating more harmony in the community at large. To find out more about Den Meditation's teacher training programs, retreats, and all things Den Meditation, go to denmeditation.com.
We have Kyle Thomas back, and we are so excited. Astrologer extraordinaire, who has so many interesting and exciting things going on, and he's blessing us with his time, so thank you, to give us the September forecast.
Thank you so much for having me. I mean, I adore you, as I was saying before. I mean, I just think the Den is such a powerful, wonderful space, and you're just such a bright light, so thank you, as always, for working with me and spending time with me, and we're going to get cosmic, so... Yeah.
Love it. And you're no one better to tell us, okay, because I always find that September, I teach about this too. It's like, you know, we put so much into January being like the start of the year, but I feel like we're all still on school time, whether you have a kid in school or you're in school or just from the amount of years you were in school, there is something that feels like a reset starting in the fall. So tell us, what is September going to be for people?
Well, I mean, we're dealing with a lot of different cosmic factors, so I kind of wanted to break down a few different things as we go through. First, I just want to talk about eclipse season, and we can bounce back and talk about your experiences and engage with people in regards to that powerful energy. And then we'll talk a little bit about the lunations and some of the planetary transitions, but the big milestone energy is eclipse season. Now, eclipse season is the entire month before the first eclipse and the entire month that is after the second eclipse. And usually we always get them in pairs, sometimes in three, but it's always in a pair of either a solar eclipse first or a lunar eclipse, and they tag team that energy. Now, solar eclipses are powerful moments when they come to destined new beginnings and opportunities that blast open a doorway for us, and we see them to be generally more friendly and exhilarating because there's new adventures, new relationships, new horizons that are being presented to us by the universe. And what I always talk about when it comes to eclipses is that they are karmic in nature, destined in nature. So certain events that were written in our charts from the very moment that we incarnated here, or even, you know, previously, we were meant to go through these experiences. So eclipse seasons often also are some of the most memorable periods in our lives because they were like, oh, that's when I met that person, or that's when that engagement happened, or got that job, or all of these kinds of things. Now, like I said, we've been in eclipse season since August 17th. And that's because our first eclipse that we're going to experience officially, this transition into autumn, is September 17th. And this is going to be a lunar eclipse in Pisces, and it's going to be at 25 degrees. Now, this is going to be a lunar eclipse, as I was saying, which brings culminations, endings, turning points, breakthroughs, and breakdowns. Lunar eclipses can be very emotional, and that's why we tend to feel more I kind of feel like when I'm discussing like eclipse season, it's like as we enter it, we're like walking towards a hurricane or like into the eye of the storm. You know, when you like go outside and there's like that electrical energy before a thunderstorm.
Yeah.
We can sort of feel that like building out in our lives. And so, you know, we usually get the news of an eclipse like on the day or in the week that surrounds it. But because, like I said, there's such high-powered cosmic events, all of our lives are shifting. And so that's why it might, you know, one situation maybe have to break here so that it can present itself to us. Or, you know, these everything's sort of like in a sandstorm. So, you know, that's going to be a pretty significant period in time. Now, this eclipse, it's kind of a mixed energy when we are looking at the astrological aspects. We have some really great stuff that's really linked to it, but then we also have some challenging stuff too. So we're going to have to roll with the punches there. And then the second eclipse, which, you know, I'm sure you or someone will talk to more about, is October 2nd, which is a solar eclipse in Libra. And the reason even kind of bringing it up into September though, is because the news could already start to be be presented to us by September 2nd. So we're in that vortex, we're in that energy. And so there will be all of these endings, beginnings, twists and turns that we are experiencing, but it is important for us to sort of like surrender and go with the flow rather than forcing things, because if we do so, we may be missing opportunities that are here for us. This axis is going to continue until 2027. So we're setting up new trends now.
Yeah. When did the one begin for Aries Libra? Has there been anything, because that's then you're saying kind of whatever's been coming up for you in that eclipse pairing.
Yeah.
Is winding down in the October 2nd.
Yeah. Hold on. Let me take a quick look. Yeah, I was right. Okay. So our first eclipse on the Aries and Libra polarity was on April 19th of 2023. And then we had a solar eclipse in Libra on October 14th of 2023. And then we had an eclipse in Libra on March 24th of 2024, which was a lunar eclipse. April 8th, 2024, which was the Great American Eclipse, was a solar eclipse in Aries. And then we have the last eclipse in Libra, which is the solar eclipse October 2nd of 2024. And then the finality of this will be the solar eclipse in Aries on March 29th of 2025. So just kind of like look at how your life has been transitioning near these times, because there's going to be, you know, I always say, obviously look at your natal chart, because if you can see where the houses are being activated, or if your planetary ruler, or, you know, just kind of what's being hit at that particular time, or if you have planets in those placements, that is going to see where your life is transforming. And we still have two more chapters of new beginnings around these kinds of themes into the spring of next year. So,
oh, wow. Yeah. And Pisces is just starting.
Yeah. And the first one, like I said, is going to be September 17th, 2024, lunar eclipse in Pisces. And then we are going to experience a lunar eclipse in Virgo, March 13th of 2025. September 7th, 2025 is a lunar eclipse in Pisces as well. September 21st, 2025 is a solar eclipse in Virgo. And then we also have two more eclipses on this polarity in 2026. And then one final one in the winter of 2027. So this is going to be a long, long cycle. And it's a little bit longer, at least impactfully, when it comes to the eclipses that we've had in recent years, because there's just going to be more of them that are taking place here. So it just represents that in our lives, there's more that we need on a collective level to transform on a you know, profound way and evolve, but then also in our individual lives too. So
yeah. I mean, the fact that you said there's so many, because I do feel like throughout the years, change is happening faster. Mm-hmm. Everybody, like everyone who talks about it, it's like the amount of change that's happening in your life compared to maybe how much would have happened 10 years ago feels like it's just all sped up.
Well, I mean, I think that's a lot to do with the planetary transitions that we're having. You know, we've had the Great Conjunction that took place in Aquarius. There's a lot of very strong energy in regards to technology, and mm-hmm. that's written in the evolution of the cosmos, of humanity's evolution. And, you know, even when we are breaking down and talking about like the age of Aquarius, now there's a lot of different, you know, theories and ideas about when this began. Did it begin, you know, 100 years ago? Did it begin 50 years ago? Is it beginning now? Is it still going to begin in 200 years? Now, there are a lot of different opinions about it. But I really think that because of these transitions in regards to, you know, the Great Conjunction that happened in Aquarius, and then Pluto going into Aquarius, it's further activating that exact particular degree where it took place. So again, I just think that that's what's speeding things up. That's really mm-hmm. energizing us to see these situations more prominently. And again, if we're seeing like a critical degree or an important degree where something happens, like a conjunction, anytime a planet is moving over it, it reactivates it and brings more of that to our attention. So, and we also have Jupiter in Gemini right now. And that's another place for technology and social media and communication and connection. So again, it's all really getting crazy. Oh, and you know, hopefully we talk about this you know, in the next couple of years, but we're also going to have some crazy alignments with like Pluto and Uranus. And it's, there's going to be,
doesn't sound good.
Well, I mean, here's the thing is it's like, even when we look at challenging aspects, I always find that there's something that we hopefully are going to grow or learn from within that regard.
Yeah.
Because I don't like to think that like we're cursed or that we, you know, we have anything that we can't handle, but it's important, you know, if we do have friction in something, it's like making heat. That's how fire happens, you know, mm-hmm. like you can have it with like rubbing against the wood or the stone. We can utilize it to create productive and healthy and empowering results too.
That's pretty amazing. So talk a little bit about like what it means for Pisces and like for people in their lives. And I know it's very specific to their charts, but as like an overall.
Well, the big thing that I actually would talk about here is that we should consider the themes of what Pisces and Virgo rule. Now, Virgo rules the natal, the collective sixth house in astrology, and that ties to health, physical health, employment, routines, responsibilities, exercise, fitness, coworkers, you know, these kinds of things that are very important in our daily affairs. And the sixth house also rules pets. Just
I was going to say, is it small animals and pets, right?
Yeah. My little puppy. These kinds of themes, you know, around health and physical health is going to be very activated when it comes to on a collective scale. So there could be reform or there could be scandals or things that come out around health systems and pharmaceutical drugs and all of these kinds of things during this cycle. It also could, you know, slightly shift the economy in regards to, you know, industries and unions, especially with Pluto and Aquarius. So that's something that I think we're going to probably see in that regard. But on the opposite end, Pisces rules the collective 12th house. And that's the place of privacy. That's the place of confinement and karma and undoing. Now, on one end, that can represent that we have karmic and destined events that pop up around mental health, rehabilitation, you know, anything of confinement. I mean, hospitals to a degree are that place. Prisons are ruled by the 12th house. So, you know, these areas, you know, it could be in regards to, like I said, you know, like, you know, a new wave of people focusing on mental health, or on the opposite is that things are going to, they could fall off, you know, and become more challenged. But again, I really believe that the evolution of humanity is to expose things, to be empowered and invigorated so we can make conscious choices to help each other and our lives and the world. So I do think there's that. Also, to a degree, the 12th house does rule spirituality.
That's what I was
and, meaning. You know, the place of you know, healing and release and mysticism. So it is one of those important houses that we can see karmic situations in that regard. So we could see people that work in those healing professions or modalities rise, or we could see them fall if they're deceptive or if they're, you know, not actually empowering people or frauds or those kinds of things too, because that energy is also being activated with Saturn in Pisces. And, you know, one thing that I also talk about too, I hope I'm not throwing, you know, too much at people, but when you have a planet in any, especially a very significant outer planet in a very powerful house, it also energetically connects to the house across from it. So we have Saturn in Pisces, which is the natal 12th house of the world. It also is activating themes and shooting energy across the sky into the sixth house of Virgo. So we're seeing these themes and these situations coming up for us on a collective scale. So it'll be interesting to see, you know, we still have, you know, Saturn's going to be in Pisces until 2026, but in 2025, it does dip into Aries for a little bit. So, you know, that will bring, you know, new sort of cycles for us to feel. But, you know, I think, I really, what I like, I think when you're really tapping into eclipse season, it's sort of like you just got to like take a step back, really focus on your energy, protect your energy, protect your health, protect your spiritual health, and try to listen and open up to the universe and be guided by the messages, the synchronicities, because synchronicities are so strong during eclipse season that you want to really, you know, open up your antenna. You want to open up that third eye and your spirit and your light and trust that the universe is going to move you. And if you fight it, you know, I think in general, people don't really like change, even if they say they do. Like, we like our habits or our behaviors or routines. We don't want to have to change, but eclipses are going to force us to. So the more that you're going to be able to go through that, the more that I think that you're going to be able to achieve from it or harness it.
And it's interesting being in Pisces and Virgo, which feels like it's on top of your routines. And
exactly. Good point. Very good point. Yeah. And Pisces also rules rest and meditation and relaxation and, you know, taking a step back from the world in order to turn within. And I, you know, especially I think in the United States, there's this, like, there's the constant, you know, Virgo sort of mind of like, all right, let's keep moving. Let's keep going. Let's move forward. And sometimes we don't take care of ourselves and nourish ourselves in the ways that we may need. And that's why I think it's so beautiful for, you know, people like you that really, you know, step forward and are, you know, encourage people to listen to that inner voice and to take a moment to breathe and listen and, you know, hopefully stop and appreciate what they have. Because if we just don't, then it's like, you know, 10 years go by and you're like, what did I even do? Oh my God, I just I was just in a hamster wheel forever. And the hamster wheel is a very Virgo sort of energy.
Oh, that's interesting.
It's always going. It's productivity. Sixth house rules productivity, efficiency.
So this is going to really shake that up in everyone. So making sure you're on the right hamster wheel, I suppose.
Yeah. I mean, one thing that I talk about in my shows or, you know, write about is that astrology in essence is the study and research of the flow of energy. So we can understand that, you know, on any given day or year, the flow of the collective energy is going to be defined by the planetary alignments and the astrological aspects and where the planets are. So that's how we can look at a forecast in a day and be like, oh, well, today's a really good day to sign a contract or like meet someone or, you know, use it in a productive means, or, oh no, it's going to be a little rocky here. So I'm going to maybe take a step back or I'm going to, you know, do that. But the thing is, again, it's like, we can see the way that energy flows through the collective channel or an individual natal chart or, I mean, and everything has a natal chart. You, me, you know, like my puppy, you know, like a relationship has a natal chart, a country, everything. So yeah, it's just interesting to see how it like manifests though.
So what are these?
One thing I would ask you. So you know how people like talk about with eclipse season around manifestation, what are your opinions on that? Like during eclipses or not?
It doesn't kind of depend on like what is being highlighted. It makes me a little nervous to manifest during eclipse season, I would think, but it depends when, right? Like, I guess it depends what energy is behind it. Maybe it's sometimes it would be absolutely tenfold what you even imagine, but I would feel like sometimes you have to be really careful because it might not be about manifesting. It might be about deconstructing.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, perfect. I mean, and that's the big thing is it's like, I think if you're like harnessing the vibe or you're like aligning to that flow, that can be really impactful and beneficial. But technically speaking, because eclipses are like three times more powerful than an average, you know, new moon or full moon, it's like we may think that we're manifesting something that we want, but we're actually redirecting it in a way that's not meant for us. Right. So we like, you know, could be like, here's an example. Like, let's say like, you know, someone's trying to manifest love. Okay, great. Wonderful. But like they're pulling in the energy or manipulating the energy in a way that is not actually moving them towards the right situation. And it, you know, shifts things in the wrong direction or, fries them in a way, you know, like.
Yeah. Well, because you also, you're talking about how it's such big energy and it's a time that the universe, it sounds from like what you say and from what I've heard, it feels like this is the time the universe is fully driving. So it's like.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
If you let it drive, you'll see where you're supposed to go. If you try too hard to like put your own imprint on it, it'll work because the energy is there, but it might really go against what you're actually supposed to have.
Yes.
And like in manifestation terms too, what is coming to you is probably so much greater than you could possibly imagine. So if you force what you can imagine on it, you're already kind of limiting. And like you said, you could be putting actually more restraint on what's actually supposed to happen.
Totally.
In a great way.
Yeah. And one thing to think about too, is that like not every single eclipse is going to be as intense for every single person.
Right.
The key here though, is that if you have a very significant planet, either like at that degree or in orb of that degree or in connection to that degree, well, then of course you're going to see that there are going to be more impactful situations that do occur. But you know, in general, I still feel like I feel eclipses pretty much all of the time, even if it's a subtle change that like leads me towards something else. Like it could be like I meet someone new and then 6 months later, then I end up doing a project with them in the media, or, you know, they introduce me to a celebrity and then I do the reading. And I mean, there's so many different ways that it can work out. So
it is really interesting. And you should emphasize this. I always tell people, and tell me if I'm wrong, like if you go through a breakup or you lose a job or you got fired or something on an eclipse, don't try and get back with that was meant to be. Like I always tell people, like, no, like that was meant to be, like keep running with it as hard as it might be. Like, don't try and fix it. Don't try and go backwards.
Well, I mean, that's the thing about the nature of an eclipse is that the moon and the sun are being entangled in a certain way, and the earth here, you know, because a lunar eclipse is the shadow of the earth on the moon. It's usually in order for us to proceed, we literally, like something is usually eclipsed out of your life at that point in time. And, you know, you may think that it's like, oh my God, it's this job that it's this career, it's this relationship, but you're actually being redirected into a new chapter, you know? And I sort of think of things as like, it's like a storybook. It's like multiple chapter arcs, and we can see the transitions that do take place. And another important thing to note here, I mean, I could talk about eclipses forever, honey.
I know, that's fascinating.
Eclipses repeat on a 19-year cycle. So if you look back to 19 years ago, these eclipses are going to be at the same degree, same house, and same placement. So if you think back, I mean, let me look this up for a second.
What was that? What are we in, 24? So is it 30? Am I going the right way?
Where is it? All right, 19 years ago was Saturday, August 27th, 2005. So if you look back to the themes that were happening at the, essentially the onset of autumn of 2005, this is going to reveal to you similar patterns, similar situations that will be activated for you. The eclipse that's taking place on September 17th is in your 11th house. So this eclipse would have been in your 11th house at that point in time too. So the 11th house, like a lunar eclipse in this particular energy, is that it can eclipse like a friend out of your life. You could meet new soulmate connections that are platonic. It could help you to unlock opportunities around very significant milestones, goals, personal achievements. It can be involved with getting involved. It could be that you're getting involved with certain communities, volunteering. But more often than not, I mean, eclipses in the 11th house, unless they're like really afflicted, do tend to be more joyful times where you're like connecting to more people and you're really enjoying the fruits of your labor in a lot of ways.
Oh,
so I think you'll like this eclipse.
Oh, good.
Yeah,
and you know, this is, I just moved somewhere new last year. So this is like our second. So maybe that's it. It's like starting to feel more at home or with people. Who knows? That's nice.
Have more friends. Well, it also can be online connections too. So you could be expanding your base online, your fandom, your supporters. There's a lot of that energy that can come through too.
All right. I'm into it.
We are going to be seeing, I mean, we have some significant planetary transitions. I mean, Mercury starts off the month in Leo. It's been going back and forth, you know, in Leo and Virgo because of the retrograde that took place in August. And it's officially going to leave its post-shadow phase on November 11th. Now, Mercury retrograde always takes place in three phases. So the pre-shadow is when it's like slowing down and it's really kind of setting itself up to reveal to us what needs to shift and change during the official retrograde, which this year was from August 5th to the 28th. And from the 28th of August until September 11th, we're sort of like putting the pieces back together again. We're reconstructing and we're untangling from any of the challenges or situations that came back. So for instance, with like me, there's been a big focus in regards to like my dating life and even my friendships in a bit. And I kept saying throughout August, I was like, I would have like a ton of people that like I would connect with. And then they would just like disappear, ghost me. And I know, and I'm sitting here and I'm like, what is going on? You know, like, I'm like, come on, you know, it's just like a coffee or a drink or something. But actually towards the end of the retrograde that it started to figure itself out. Cause like people were coming back and being like, oh, sorry, I was busy or I was traveling. Or so I think that's probably how it's going to like it. Well, and Leo in general rules that in dating for people in the collective.
That's interesting for people to know who are dating.
Yeah. Another thing to notice too is that we will have a Mars retrograde in Leo at the end of the year. So themes that are popping up that happen in particularly in August, in the beginning of September, will be reviewed again at the end of the year.
Okay.
So because we're having two retrogrades in Leo. Anyway, so there's that. We will notice that life is picking up. The speed of life will be really back on track by the 11th. But another thing that I want to mention here is that, and hopefully we talked about this prior, but from November, basically September and October, the big periods of the year when you want to lock down and get everything done as much as you can, because Mars, the planet of energy and drive and focus, it enters into its pre-shadow phase on, October 4th. And then we have an official Mars retrograde at the end of the year until it's like December 6th.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, December 6th until February 23rd, I believe. So, and that's going to be really slow, you know, challenging. You don't want to launch things during that period. So you want to really move forward as quickly as possible to like use September to like, try to get things in motion. Now we will be in eclipse season, so obviously it's not the best time to like manifest, but there will be things that are happening. The pace of life will be much faster. I feel like after the slow progression that has happened, particularly in August, September is gonna be like a thunderstorm. It's just gonna be like whoosh, you know, like the train is moving along, so it's like you jumping on or not. So there will be that. We have Mars. It starts off the month in Gemini, and so there's been an extra focus on Gemini themes of connection, socializing, communication, engaging, learning, writing, speaking, all of those kinds of things, and that happens until the 4th. Then Mars is going to go into Cancer, where it's weakened, because it's in its fall, until November 3rd. When you have a planet that is weakened, it just represents that it's not functioning in the way that it normally likes to. And that's because Mars is exalted in Capricorn. Capricorn is ambitious and focused on moving and always upward climb. Whereas Cancer, I love Cancer energy. Cancer is never direct about anything. It always scuttles like a crab on the side. You know, it moves sideways. So even though it's a cardinal sign and it launches a season, it's still, you know, it's a pure powerful form of that water energy, but it still isn't as direct as maybe, you know, Capricorn or Aries may be. Same thing that you'd think about with Libra. Libra is not super typically very direct because they want to like work with people and like, you know, can help people like be cooperative or things of that nature. So again, just something to think about. So yeah, so with Mars being a very aggressive, assertive, passionate, impulsive energy, swimming in the seas of Cancer is not particularly its favorite place to be. So again, we may feel during this period in time, there will be a global focus more on our homes, our personal lives, our, you know, families, domesticity, real estate. But it also, Cancer is very tied to emotional stability. So we're going to be super fired up. You know, there will be a lot of defensiveness that can happen a lot with Mars and Cancer.
Yeah.
People can be like overly protective, to a degree, sometimes overly possessive, although that's more of a Taurus and Scorpio vibe, but still Cancer can exhibit that. But yeah, people will just be like really fired up about their feelings, probably not able to communicate them as best as they want. That's why sometimes I also see with this energy is that, have you ever like met someone that they just bottle everything up and then they just like blow up and they're crying and they're like so upset and you're like, where is this coming from? Like, that's a very Mars and Cancer energy.
That's funny. We don't actually do that, but that's funny.
Yeah. So, I mean, I think that's some of the biggest stuff. I mean, we officially have the autumn equinox on the 22nd when the sun enters Libra. So we are moving into that autumn vibe. We will have, oh, this is also really good too. Venus is in Libra until September 22nd. So this is a great time for relationships because of that. And, you know, this is great for people to find a partner or find a collaborator or grow closer and make promises with their important people. So I do love that. That is one of the best periods of the year to find a significant partner if you are single. So really do that. The energy will shift also on the 22nd because Venus will go into Scorpio, where Venus is weakened in Scorpio. So that will be a bit of a, you know, period where people are a little bit more broody in their relationships until October 17th, a little bit more possessive. You know, Venus in Scorpio is a very passionate energy, but it's I'm trying to think of the best way to say this without being bad about it. It's just that people with Venus in Scorpio or this kind of energy is that it has that possessive energy. It's very focused on like, what is mine? It's all or nothing in love. That's the way I want to say it.
All or nothing.
All or nothing in love. Like, that is so significant. And for, you know, on a positive end, that can work for some people, but other people it doesn't. So.
Right.
Yeah.
But then, so talk about when is the Venus in Libra? What are those?
So Venus is in Libra at the onset of the month of September and until the 22nd of September. So
good time to be proactive about looking for someone.
Yeah. I mean, and I think we've talked about this in past shows that we've done. So, you know, obviously astrology is predictive. We know that like if certain energetic forces are going to be prominent or active, that something will be there. And that's key, but astrology is productive too. And what we need to do with it is that we know that the cosmic flow is working in our favor in that regard, then we have to seize the day. We have to do that. And going back to what I was saying about August being really important for like my chart in my love life, I knew this was there. I knew that there were going to be some challenges because of the Mercury retrograde, but I've also had more activity in my dating life or opportunities to date than any other time of the year. And again, that's the predictive sense that I was like, okay, but the productive sense was that I had to put myself out there to be like, all right, you know, follow up. And, you know, I think I have some good options. So, hey, you know, like, it's
like, it works.
Yeah. And you know,
people who are in a relationship already, what is this Venus and Libra? Just so the time.
Yeah, I mean, it's Venus in Libra is going to be really great for any sort of union or commitment. And so this can affect your business relationships. This can affect your collaborators. Let's say you're looking for the right kind of business associate. So like, let's say you're looking for an agent or a manager or an accountant or a fitness trainer or any of these kinds of things. There's more opportunity for you to find someone in that regard. With that at this time, but in, you know, for people that are in committed relationships, this is a really wonderful time just to really enjoy each other, to remember like why you fell in love in the first place and work on building your relationships. Because sometimes I feel like, you know, relationships always take work. You know, that's why sometimes people ask, they're like, oh, you know, like, you know, are certain signs more compatible? Yes. But at the end of the day, any zodiac sign can work with any zodiac sign if you just are committed to working together and like really prioritizing that, you know? And that's so crucial, because another thing that I also say too is that if your relationship isn't growing, it's dying. So you need to tend to that, like the garden, and you need to water it and water each other and water the beauty that you have. And however that is, you know, everyone has different love languages and a different kind of connection, but like really spend some time with your sweetheart, talk about making long-term plans. And another thing that I also like to do with astrology is that even if you can't like do the big thing that you want to during this time, like let's say you can't go take on a big vacation with your sweetheart during this time, if you plan it together during this time, you're encapsulating the energy for later. So maybe your schedules are better at the end of the year or in, I don't know, like springtime. But if you plan the trip, if you work on building it now, you're starting to infuse it into the seeds of what will come.
How about like, also, it's interesting that it's like the beginning of the school year for a lot of people. Is that kind of also sowing new relationships or kind of boding well of like finding your people, whatever that means?
To a degree. I mean, Libra is very focused on one-on-one relationships. So more often than not, it doesn't include like your...
My daughter's a Libra. She loves a one-on-one.
It's all... Yeah, there's... And I love Libra energy so much. Mm-hmm. But it is the kind of thing where... It would bode well if someone's looking for like their person, their like best friend, or a mentor to a degree, or, you know, that kind of energy will be really prominent. So I think even just noting this, you know, regardless of how old these kids are or, you know, in college, whatever, there will be probably a lot of even significant romantic crushes or relationships that sort of pop up. So, and it's funny to think, I mean, like, obviously when I was in like grade school, like, I mean, I never actually dated, but I always had a girlfriend, you know, or like, you know, that kind of thing. So this would be that kind of thing where I'd be like, okay, we're together, you know? So,
okay. What else before I ask you a question?
On September 1st, Pluto is going to re-enter Capricorn for the final time in our entire lifetimes.
Oh, wow.
And it will remain there, I think it's until like November 16th. It's November 19th. So this is the last time that Pluto will be in Capricorn in our lifetimes. It takes 248 years to go around the sun. And so we've been dealing with Pluto in Capricorn since 2008. And so again, you know, if you look back to your life, and in particular, the house that it's been really orbiting within, you're going to see that this is like the final stretch of that powerful evolution. So you do want to try to hopefully tap into it as much as possible.
Remind people the themes of Pluto and Capricorn.
Well, Pluto is all about rebirth and transformation, but it's a malefic. So more often than not, it teaches through pain. It's like Saturn in that regard, or Mars. So with Pluto, Pluto is actually the higher octave of Mars, whereas like Mars is like, you know, anger or passion or, you know, war. Pluto is like 10 times more intense. It's like destruction and domination and like burning things down to the ground like a phoenix. So again, I don't think that, you know, the universe is ever here to be like a dark or malevolent place, but we usually go through these powerful Pluto transits in a way that's like, we're like never the same again. It's like, you know, power is really important to it. Release, all of those themes are very significant, but Capricorn is government. It's the structures in society and in our lives. It's ambition. It's you know, it has ties to banks and it has ties to, you know, like I said, politics but whereas Libra is like politics in the sense of justice, Capricorn is politics in the sense of like a king, like a powerful sort of governing force or like VIPs and things like that. So Pluto has been burning these things down to a degree to like show what's there. However, when it's in a zodiac sign, it can also intensify the themes of it. So that's why we're seeing more energy around like government growing and the structures and like holding on to power and holding on to tradition and really, really doing that, because Pluto's at the last degree. And it's the last degree here is really preparing us for this next evolution. But Pluto in Aquarius, it's interesting because I'll see, you know, certain people be like, oh my God, it's going to be this wonderful time. And I'm like, no, it's not. That's not what's going to happen with it. Pluto is going to make things harder for the first 8-ish years until we get acclimated to the energy. Because it's
and when does that, what date is that? It's...
Well, Pluto started into Aquarius last year, right. And then it's been dipping back and forth. Yes. Yeah. And it is, like I said, November 19th.
It's official.
Officially, it's setting up residence for 20-ish years. Yeah. But that's the thing about it, is that it's Pluto is here to show us the dark side, to show us the shadow, to show us the underbelly of all of it, so that we are able to transform it and transmute it into light. And in a way that we can ultimately evolve, hopefully for the better, across the board. So,
and yeah. Talk about how, then talk about the thematics of Uranus and Taurus.
Uranus and Taurus, so... Taurus rules the economy. It rules wealth, possessions, money, and it also has ties, very significant ties, to the environment. Now, there are certain astrologers that say that technically Taurus isn't ruled by Venus and it's ruled by the Earth, but that's a different system. That's a new system. I don't abide by that. I focus more on traditional astrology. So I just feel like the system has been around for thousands of years and was perfect in its design. I don't think that's I need to really change it. You know, like, okay, that's, you know, like I don't actually use asteroids very much at all either. Like right. I just, yeah, I'm like, they weren't present in ancient astrology. So we already have forces that are encapsulating to that, but that's just my particular brand. Anyways, but you know, Uranus is the planet of evolution and the future and freedom. So again, when we have a powerful energetic force of an outer planet moving through any space in the sky, it's going to, again, show us and bring us more thematics around what it rules. And so we've been seeing, you know, there's been more focus and understanding of like, let's look at the environment and let's look at what's going on and, you know, how are our resources being distributed? How are our resources being utilized? And are we nourishing or are we completely taking? And, you know, all sorts of extremes when it comes to wealth and, you know, all of that, you know, financial instability and debts too. You know, I mean, even though debt technically is more ruled by Scorpio, it's on the same polarity as Taurus.
So September is interesting.
Yeah. I mean, the thing that, again, that I love about astrology is that there's always something new and beautiful and hopefully wonderful that we are able to work with. And again, if we have challenges or rocky weather, you sort of hopefully sidestep it, or that you have right. to work with that energy again in a productive means. Like sometimes if we have like a really hard Saturn aspect or Pluto aspect or something of that nature, this would be a good time to focus on like studying or like taking a step back and like doing internal work or things of that nature. So again, utilizing the tools that we have in our lives, in our institutions, in our spiritual communities, and working to be productive and to be resilient and persevere, I think that we can ultimately just live the greatest life possible, but then also really hope to bring more light and heal other people too.
Yeah. And I think it's interesting what you said specifically for September too, like, and I guess a little bit of October, like get your shit done. Like, I think that's such a good piece of advice for people. Like everything's going to slow down and it slows down for quite a while. Like, yes, around the new year, I feel like everything slows down regardless, but it feels like this is a wider berth. So it's like,
well, the thing that's crazy. And again, hopefully we talk about this before this, but we're actually in a portal of like almost like 8 months of it. I'm calling it like the vortal of the past, the vortex of the past, because in the middle of July, we started to have, you know, Mercury was slowing down and there was that. And then we had Mercury retrograde, and then we're going to feel the energy of Mars retrograde slowing down. That's going to take place really significantly. And we're in the fog of Mars retrograde until the middle of May of 2025. Mm-hmm. And to make things even more pronounced is that it's 1 week after the Mars retrograde finishes, which is like February 23rd of 2025, on March 1st, Venus retrograde starts. Mm. So it's like, it's what we're seeing on a collective level, it's even beginning now, is that there are things, people, situations, projects, relationships, all sorts of things from the past that still hold value in our lives that we've lost. And it's time for us to either find closure, reunite with that, heal it, let it go, so clear space for something better, or it's time for us to really reconnect and reunite with that energy so that we can appreciate it better now. Like I always use this sort of this metaphor with when it comes to retrogrades, is like, let's imagine that we're like running down the beach and we're enjoying the sun and the waves, and we're just like running. And then during a retrograde, we realize that we've lost something. So we decide to go take a, you know, we walk back down the way that we had just come. And we realized that we had dropped a jewel or a bracelet that really was important to us that we loved back beforehand. But we were running so fast, we didn't even realize we lost it. We didn't realize that it was missing. And then during that time, you're like, oh, wow, I do love that. I did want that back. Hmm. And you really have more appreciation for it. I do believe that there are certain relationships that do get back together. Maybe that's that friendship that you used to really love each other, or, you know, family members that have lost touch, or in a rarer situation, even romance. But if two people have done the work during that time when they have separated and they have gone to grow and they've gone through their experiences, they've gone through their own adventures, horizons, heartbreaks, and evolution, when they come back together, they can complement each other even better. But that still requires work. That still requires owning up to who we are, what we bring to the table, and then also trying to build something of value. But a lot of time, I feel like exes come back and it's like they want the same thing as before. And that's not when it works.
Right.
It only works when it's like they want something different, but they still both can bring a new value now.
It feels to me like this chance of, okay, reassessment. You're giving back certain things to make sure like these were the right choice. You know, whether it's like, hey, you haven't quite gotten rid of this yet, so it's coming back up. Like you need to solve it, fix it, let go of it. Or are you sure this was, you know, meant to be excised or whatever, or lost, or it's interesting. It's kind of like, okay, we've been moving so fast. Let's take a pause and have a moment.
Yeah.
Oh, the universe is amazing. You're amazing. Thank you. This was perfect. I think this is really helpful. And like you've said a few times, you said when you're on the podcast before too, and I loved how you said it today about it's really the study of the movement of energy. It's again, like the audience, it's up to you to use this energy however you want, but it's there. That's the predictive part. The energy is there. It's going to operate in certain ways. And with, you know, your guidance, thank God, they have a better sense now how to use it, especially for September. So I love that.
Yeah. Well, I mean, another thing too, that like when I use as a metaphor is that like, if you're like, you know, people are like, when they talk about intention or manifestation, they're like, I'm going to will a lover into my life, or I'm going to will a job into my life. Now, does that sometimes happen and they get lucky? Sure. But that usually means that there were other pieces that were already in place to get them there. Mm-hmm. The key to it is it's like, you know, for me, like I had gone through a period for like nearly 2 years where like there was no opportunity for romance in my life at all. This was in my 20s. So I was like banging down the door. It doesn't matter how much you bang down the door to try to find something. If the door to the it is not open, it will never be there for you. So that's why we work with astrology. We work with the flow of energy so that we're in alignment with it to improve our lives and ultimately be strategic about when and why to do things. So
I mean, I think, and it's very helpful, like when you learn your stuff about yourself, like you were saying, like with Mars and Cancer for me, like when you learn that stuff, you're like, okay, yeah, you can be a little more mindful, and you can also be like, oh yeah, maybe I am being defensive, or the other things you said about it. So it's really interesting.
Yeah. I love it.
Well, we love you. So thank you. And thank you for your time. And we all appreciate you from this community. So thank you.
I appreciate it. So cool. Well, let me know when you want me to come back, because, you know, I'm always around.
You will come back for sure.
You need parts? O'Reilly Auto Parts has parts. Need them fast? We've got fast. No matter what you need, we have thousands of professional parts people doing their part to make sure you have it. Product availability. Just one part that makes O'Reilly stand apart. The professional parts people.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.